On today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny, we open the door to new ideas on an old phone booth. How to give a vanilla bathroom a little more personality. Roasting hot Christmas lights come back for another season. What to do with a very confused fireplace and TV setup. Plus, Grandpa's motorbike tire spins again. All that and more on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny.
And here we are with Junkin' with Jenny, Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you. This, of course, is the show all about taking old objects, places, spaces, and really giving them new life. If you've been coming to follow the program, I believe we're up to episode 12 now.
I think so.
Yeah. And if you're listening to us, it's really no different. But for us here today, we, on the video version of this, which you can watch at junkinwithjenny.com, we are in your office.
Yes.
We've talked about your office a lot. I love your office.
I know. I think you secretly wish we could switch.
Well, sometimes I come in here and I just sit.
I've caught you in here.
And I sit at your desk and I wear your clothes.
No.
And then I start calling myself Jenny. And then I ask the kids to call me Mom.
I haven't seen that, but you do really enjoy my office. You really do.
It is. I mean, it's very comfortable. And I thought, you know, we should really do this show in here.
Yeah.
In this office, because it's really much more of your space and your stuff, and this is your show. So this, it just works. So I've been trying to figure out how to do it, because in the other office, right over through that wall there, that's where the studio is, and that's where we record our podcasts and everything. I was like, well, there's no microphones in your office. So I did a little digging, a little research, and I found some nice little handy dandy lavalier microphones that you can barely see.
Yeah.
And so if she has hers right there. So if I have to reach over in the middle of the show accidentally and move it.
It's my mic. It's
I'm not trying to be one of those people that.
On the list.
I don't want to be on the list.
No.
I'm just trying to adjust your microphone.
That's
all. And I'll probably even cut to another photo. And then you can all of a sudden
we'll
be like.
We'll keep it G-rated.
Like,
there won't
damn!
Be.
Damn! And you'll be like, there's nothing going on here, folks. Nothing to see.
Won't be any cop in a feel, huh?
Yeah, but luckily we're married. So it's not,
right. You're
not like, you know, an intern or something like that, where it's like completely, utterly inappropriate and insane.
Let's move along.
Yeah, let's move along.
Okay.
So there's lots of interesting things to talk about on today's episode. As far as projects go that we've been working on, you got some interesting stuff. Coming up on next week's episode, what do you think we're going to have on there next week for a Jenny project?
The concession area.
Okay.
I think that will be on there because we've already featured the Homic Room.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the last portion of the massive basement remodel that we took on. That should be done. And then I might have a handful of small things because I'm kind of wanting to take a break after doing that one, because that was a monster, almost 2.5 month project.
I think if it's up by the next episode, the tall Christmas tree.
Okay.
And just kind of explain some, kind of how you decorate that, because it looks like something out of like Macy's Christmas department or something.
Or
Marshall Fields or something, like a really nice department store back when they used to put together really nice Christmas displays, not just the, you know, here's a bunch of ornaments.
The art of putting together the tree.
They're really nice ones. So we'll probably talk about that if the tree is up by then. I'm sure it'll be on a future episode. So you may be able to learn how to decorate a Christmas tree somewhere around Valentine's Day. So just so you know. Actually, no, we're actually pretty close to on this show from recording to airing. It's like almost like the next week.
And Christmas trees are my thing. We put 3 up every year.
Yeah.
And I know that's a bit excessive, but I love decorating and they're all 3 different.
We happen to live in a town that's obsessed with Christmas.
Yeah.
So we used to do the let's put the stuff up the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Which was normal.
Right. And I think that's where the rest of the world that celebrates Christmas, that's their, you know, well, I won't say the rest of the world because obviously Thanksgiving's not just it's an American holiday, but around that time is when people start decorating for Christmas, unless you're a department store. But in Branson,
everyone's a department store.
The day after Halloween, November 1st, boom, you're full on Christmas season. If you don't have things decorated, then you're behind. And I know people are like, well, you know, you need to slow down and celebrate Thanksgiving. And we do. Mm-hmm. We just like to get the things up and decorated too.
We just call it Christmas part one.
No, we don't do that.
Instead of Thanksgiving. It's really kind of interesting. So we took the kids trick-or-treating this year. We take them to this outdoor shopping area. It's called The Landing. And they deck the thing out. They have a big Christmas parade down there like the following day. And it was already decked out with, you know, garland and Christmas, you know, mm-hmm. ornaments and everything. And all the kids are trick-or-treating on Halloween, going up and down this thing. It was kind of like Nightmare Before Christmas. Nightmare Before Christmas, yeah.
But most of those kids don't know any different.
That's normal. It's always been
for them.
Sure.
I mean, our kids are like, awesome, we get twice as much Christmas season.
Yeah, it's fun. So anyway, we'll talk about some of that stuff. We actually do have a Christmassy thing on today's episode involving Christmas light bulbs, these old fire hazards that a lot of us had. My family did not, my aunts, my uncles did, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. Also next week on the show, we have a wine sponsor. Which is exciting. It's
awesome.
Like kind of a wine of the week, if you will, almost is kind of like what we're going to be doing. I reached out, because we were talking about that the other week, mm-hmm. saying, you know, we have wine on the show every week. 40 to 60,000 people download this show. I think we could probably get a couple bottles of wine and then somebody could get some exposure for their wine. So we're going to, next week, I reached out to a couple vineyards this week and we're going to start to get some of those on the air next week. So we'll even talk about some different wines and whatnot, not like do a crazy, I'm getting earthworm. How about you?
Yeah, frog's ass.
That's kind of tastes like toad.
Yeah.
Toad toes. Yes. On a spring day.
We won't do that.
Not quite like that. We'll just say if it's, you know, what we think of it, you know, mm-hmm. what it made, you know, that. It'll be simple, but it'll be kind of a fun little.
And it fits because I think projects go better when there's a little wine helping the whole process.
Yeah, as long as you're not using power tools at that
right.
moment
no,
in time.
Right, no, not That's, using power tools, but if you're painting something, it helps.
Yeah, exactly. It really does. Especially the next year, you're like, oh shit, I missed like all those spots.
Paint is doable.
It is.
Redo it, it no is. Problem.
It's like, oh, I'm missing the finger. But that was a good bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Can happen. All right, let's go to our first letter that came into us in the first image. Like I said, junkinwithjenny.com is where you can watch all of this, where you can submit your questions, your pictures of objects, places, spaces you want advice on, and we may use it on a future episode. Do it at junkinwithjenny.com. First one we got here, this is, and you can see it on the video at junkinwithjenny.com, it's a old phone booth door. This mm-hmm. is not the full phone booth. This is like the old, what you'd see probably like in a hotel entryway, or I'm thinking almost, you know, like train station as well. Just the wood door. This is not the metal type.
The wood casing on it.
Wood casing.
And trim.
Phone booth. And it's pretty neat, mm-hmm. but it's just the fold-in style door, almost like a closet door. Got some glass on it. Oddly shaped. I don't have the exact dimensions on it, but I kind of estimated what I think it might be at, just, you know, based on having seen them when they mm-hmm. were around. What would you do with something like this?
Well, I know the first idea that I had, you also had, so I will let you share that one. But the second idea that I had, being that it's just the door and the casing, I thought I'd make a really neat wall light, like at the end of a hall.
Okay.
So I would kind of build out maybe a 3 or 4 inch box behind it and stain it to match the wood.
Yeah.
And put some sort of light source, like a rope light maybe around the inside of that.
Yeah.
Or a bar light at the bottom that shines up.
Yeah.
It looks like the glass is fogged, but if not, I would fog the glass. And we've talked about how to do that.
Yeah.
And I would wall mount it. I would imagine just that part is going to be a little heavy, So you want to mount it into studs, but I would think it'd make a really neat light at the end of a hall.
That would be. That'd be a really cool light at the end of a hall. And you could even, if you really wanted to, you could do the outline of a person in there that kind of gets fogged and it looks like there's somebody in there. Just freak out your family and then maybe even make it animated a little bit so it moves and people think there's somebody in this fake phone booth.
We would do that because we're creepy, mm-hmm. but normal people probably wouldn't do that.
I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be really fun. The idea I had for it, and again, it's really to depend on your space and what you have and where you're wanting to put this, but I think you could frame it almost as like a pantry door.
Frame it in. Yeah.
To be the entrance into a little pantry, mm-hmm. or even if it's not like a super big walk-in pantry, you may need to frame around it a little bit because it's probably a bit smaller than a regular door frame. Mm-hmm. But if you framed it correctly, I think you could make this into a neat little pantry door for a kitchen, or if your pantry is down your hall or something, it'd be a neat little piece. I really like the light.
You like the light?
That's a really cool idea.
I thought that would be fun. I was thinking about how we have in our house, we have some long mm-hmm. hallways and, you know, we have overhead lights, but that would be kind of neat at the end of the hall as a nightlight.
Yeah, that would be really cool. That's neat. Until you discover it's haunted and then you start hearing people's phone conversations that are attached to the door.
You never know.
You do.
I would hope not, but
be fun, be creepy. So there you go. There's an idea for what to do with the old phone booth. I like that a lot. And it's funny because, you know, some of the stuff we get on the show, we talk about. I go, damn, I really wish I could find that myself.
Yeah.
You know, to actually do some of this stuff with. That would be a cool thing.
We'd have to change the name of the show to Hoarding with Jenny. So
next year, new whole like a spinoff episode. Our garage is kind of hoardish.
No, our garage is projects and planning.
And you can park vehicles in there.
You can, if there's
when
a hailstorm coming.
Yeah, we can move stuff mm-hmm. around a little bit. Move the cat bodies around. And
it's not like I've just gathered these items with no intent on what to do. I have a plan. I see you making that face. Oh. I have a plan for all the mantles and the windmill tail and everything else that's out there.
Jenny, the only way we're going to be able to get through this is if you can admit that there's a problem.
There's not a problem, and there's no 12-step program for that, so.
I'm trying to be the hoarder people. Are they coming and they're like...
It's not that bad. You can park two full-size vehicles in it.
You can. You really can. It's not hoarderish. And we think there's stuff along the walls, but it's all stuff we're planning on using, so.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. This next object we have here, take a look. It's pulleys.
Awesome.
Who doesn't love themselves some pulleys?
I love pulleys.
I think they're neat. They're rusty and, I wonder what were they used in. I think like barns and stuff like that.
Maybe a warehouse.
A meat locker.
No.
Probably had large animal carcasses hanging out.
We're not going to
one time
put
or
that
another.
Thought out there.
It's kind of pull it and...
That may be partially true, but I'm going to say they were probably a warehouse or a barn.
Sure. Meat warehouse.
If it's bloody, just
International House of
by.
Meat. Well, hopefully it was just, you know, steaks that were on there, and it wasn't okay. Like some bad part of a major city. What would you do with them, Jenny?
I actually really like industrial-looking objects, and mm-hmm. I like the whole industrial feel, probably even before it was kind of a thing, and I'll probably like it long after it's not a trend anymore. But I would take these, and I would have some of the pendant lights that you can get at, you know, your big box store, and mm-hmm. I would take the cord and maybe wrap it around once and have just an Edison bulb hanging from each of these and have the pulleys affixed to the ceiling so mm-hmm. it looks like there's lights hanging off of the pulleys and make a light fixture out of it that way. Was that your idea?
Yeah, that was what I was going to say too.
Sorry.
Because I've seen that done
on
Pinterest
okay.
where they have just, you know, the long and they're thicker cords. They're modern, they're safe cords.
They're safe, but they're usually the rope wrapped
yeah.
looking ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like that. And I think that'd be mm-hmm. a perfect thing to tie into with these pulleys. I'd probably do something where the thought I had would be, for this light fixture, have a beam of some sort that they're attached to. Then you can, it'll make it a little easier too with all the cords are eventually going to go into some source.
And then you have one source of power.
Yeah. And then you kind of wrap all the cords up in there, you know, safely. And then you have these pulleys hanging from the beam on hooks. And then, you know, your lights and probably Edison bulbs and such hanging down from it. So very similar idea.
Any other ideas, Anna?
Drying jerky in the garage. That was really what I was thinking of doing with it. I honestly don't have many other ideas on it. You?
Yes.
Okay.
For if you have like a larger piece of artwork or a family photo or even an old empty window, mm-hmm. I would attach either chain or rope to both ends of the top of the picture or the window or whatever you want to hang, and then let the pulley be basically the center of where it's hanging from, and you attach the pulley to the wall so this picture or whatever it is hanging from the pulley.
Okay.
And the rope goes up from one side to the pulley and then down to the other.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That could be neat. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Christmas ornaments, but they probably pull your tree over. You need one heck of a tree.
That would be kind of crazy. Yeah.
If you had like a giant outdoor tree and you had a ton of these things, although it would probably look to be a very creepy tree. Like, what are all these large rusty objects with hooks on for this tree?
But do you get what I'm saying about the whole hanging picture?
I do. Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe. And I know that everybody that's listening to us is like, what is she talking about?
They're just so large. What type of pictures would you be hanging from this?
I would hang something like my window there.
Okay, so big things.
Or even my clock back here, you know, somehow hang something large, you know? Okay. It can even be empty picture frames, because sometimes mm-hmm. the old ornate picture frames from, you know, mm-hmm. turn of the century, 100 years ago, are pretty neat just by themselves.
Sure.
And you could just hang that just empty.
Would it sway back and forth though?
You can affix it to the wall to where it doesn't do that, okay. But it looks like it's suspended from the pulley.
I see what you're saying.
Double-sided tape goes a long way at making things stay where they're supposed to.
It does. All right, I like it. Pulleys. Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay. Next item here, this is not an item, this is actually a space. And let me make sure I'm pulling up the right one. Yeah, here we go. Bathroom remodel is the question here. I should preface this letter by saying there's nothing wrong technically with my bathroom. It's very much how it looked when we moved into the house 4 years ago. I, however, do think it's time for an update of some sort. I spent a lot of time in this room and would like it to feel a bit more relaxing. I don't know if spa-like is something I can pull off, but I'm willing to hear ideas for something I can try. What ideas do you have for fixing up this bathroom?
Well, I think spa-like is definitely doable. It's okay. A nice large bathroom. First thing to do would be to get the carpet out of there, because carpets and bathrooms don't mix.
But it feels so good on your feet when you come out of the shower and you can drip dry right into the carpet.
Yeah.
And it gets into the pad. And then you get that distinct smell in that bathroom.
Things that don't necessarily make it first try into the toilet.
You can get that into there. It creates a unique scent to a room.
So I would get the carpet out of there.
Okay.
The large mirror, that's kind of a catch-22. Some people love their large mirrors, and mm-hmm. I can't fault them for that, but I really like the look of two individual mirrors, because it looks like there's two vanities, even though one of the vanities doesn't have mm-hmm. a faucet, but it has the look of having two separate vanities.
Sure.
So I would treat it as two separate vanities.
Okay.
And, you know, I can't tell what the countertop is. If it's laminate, I would take it out and maybe replace it with something, you know, you can get a stone countertop for a vanity with a sink already mounted into it, real easy from a big box store. Mm-hmm. But I would take that middle kind of bridge piece out. Mm-hmm. And for storage, I would maybe look for an antique piece of furniture of some sort, like an antique dresser or buffet piece.
So would you make these into like two separate vanities essentially?
Yes.
Okay.
I would make it into two separate spaces, and I would put some kind of unique piece there in the middle to kind of break it up.
Okay.
And definitely it's the old bar lighting with just the bulbs screwed in. Mm-hmm. I would work on having two separate fixtures put in above each mirror respectively. Mm-hmm. And you know, your mirrors don't have to be anything special. You can get a framed mirror pretty inexpensive, but it just gives it a step up. It just mm-hmm. looks better. Can't see what's going on with the rest of the bathroom to know what to do with the tub or the shower or any of that. But painting the walls, I would go with some sort of relaxing color in the maybe blues or greens kind of feel, just because that seems to work spa-like, and it goes great with white.
Sure. I think one of the quickest and easiest things you can do to give the room a whole new feel is get rid of that mirror. And again, it's one of those things where if that's what you've had your whole life, that's what I had growing up. I didn't know that you didn't have giant mirrors in a bathroom. I thought that's just all you did. That's what everybody did. That's what I thought the only options were. But yeah, you get that giant mirror out of there. I like the idea of kind of separating it out into two different vanity pieces. If you really are dead set on keeping your giant mirror there, I kind of maybe do a bar or something along the top, frame it a little bit, make it kind of feel more like a piece, not just a giant piece of mirror that was hung to the wall out of obligation. But if you can get two, you know, cool little, you know, identical matching mirror pieces, which you can get at almost any home store these days for a reasonable price, switch out the light fixture. If you can, if it's not too crazy to wire it over a little bit, I would do it. If not, you could probably get away with a nice longer bar piece there of some sort. It doesn't have to be a bar per se, but something that has, you know, separate bulbs in it. And there's, there's all sorts of designs you can take a look at. But I'd certainly upgrade from that kind of basically basic one that probably came with the house that we see there. Yeah, then painting it. I'd probably go with, you know, the... what is this? What would you call... What is this?
This one is Silver Strand by Sherwin-Williams.
Okay, so...
And I don't know how blue it looks in the video, but it's a gray blue. It's a lot like sea salt. More people are probably familiar with that color because it's been all over HGTV for the last 2 years.
Sure. So something probably along those lines. A relaxing color for the bathroom there. Get rid of that kind of yellowish. It may not even be yellow. It may just be how the lights are making
it. It's probably a beige that makes it look yellow.
Sure. And carpet, I would keep the carpet just because I love the scent that it gives a bathroom. It's like human potpourri.
So,
no, I get rid of it.
I know.
I would get rid of it.
And what would you put down? Because I didn't say what I'd put down, and I just thought about that.
You know, if you have the budget for it, I'd look at probably they have now the waterproof wooden. Tile type pieces, correct?
Are you talking about the like engineered plank?
Yeah, engineered plank that is waterproof. So that could be an option. If you don't want to go down that route, I would probably consider like a wood looking actual porcelain tile. Another not half bad option for a bathroom would really be a stained concrete. You depending on how much you have to spend here on this and what your experience level is, you could do it yourself. It's not going to look like super shiny and super amazing unless you actually pour the other new layer of a different type of concrete on top of it, which not, I don't think, insanely complex. I've never done it myself. I've seen it done, but you would need to put a special layer of concrete down. And who knows, depending on this is upstairs, downstairs, or what's, you know, there, you may it may not even be an option. Can you do concrete onto like a subfloor? I mean, you probably need to do something.
I wouldn't recommend it because you're just asking for it to crack and everything.
If this is already a basement.
If it's a basement,
if it's already on a concrete slab, I'd say that could be an option.
But again,
if not, no.
You're not going to want to go with the super glossy because it is going to get wet and it's going to be slippery.
For whatever reason, I was just under the impression it was in a basement. I don't know why, and it probably isn't. But at first, I actually thought the carpet was stained concrete. I thought, this is that, you know, kind of cloudy looking. But then I look at closer, it's carpet.
There's vacuum marks.
Yeah. But if you have the option, I think stained concrete could be a neat option in there.
But I agree. The biggest thing you can do is get rid of that builder's mirror. Builders did that for decades, and it was twofold. One, the big mirrors like that were fairly cheap for them to come by, but then also it reflects more light, giving the room a bigger feel.
Yeah.
Bathrooms are bathrooms, you know. You can't fake more space that bad in a bathroom. So I would go with the upgrade on the two separate mirrors.
I never like the argument to people where, oh, it makes the room seem so much bigger. Yeah, to the dog.
Right.
I realize the room's not that much bigger.
No.
You know, I get it can kind of create the illusion, but there's very... Colors can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that can really do that. I don't really ever go with that or agree with that sentiment when it's a mirror.
Well, it's not that the room's feeling bigger. It's
sure.
reflecting light, which lighter light paint will make it feel bigger. But
it's just that's the argument you hear some people make sometimes
right,
with a mirror.
Right. It's like, oh, yeah. And who are those people in there?
Yeah. It's like the
it's
cat
reflection.
Probably thinks
mm-hmm.
it's a larger room now. Like, I'm glad the cat's happy. So, yeah, there you go. I think there's, you know, not a ton of things that need to be changed there. In fact, just a lot of kind of taking out and mm-hmm. a couple rearrangements that could probably be done fairly economically. So there you go. Bathroom remodel. If you have a place, object, space, something you want some feedback on, go ahead and submit it to us at junkinwithjenny.com, and it's right there. See? I'm pointing at it right now.
You're really obsessed with pointing to stuff on camera. You would have been the dorkiest weatherman
ever. I would
have
been a horrible weatherman, because I'm no matter how many times I do it, I'm always in the wrong direction, and I have no sense of these things. It's horrible. Let's do this one. This is Christmas lights.
Okay.
And these are the old, you touch them when they're plugged in, you're going to char the flesh off of your hand, Christmas lights. It says, I've been holding onto this box of antique Christmas lights for nearly 25 years. These are the lights that used to go on our tree. It's amazing it didn't burn the house down. I wouldn't dream of plugging them in anymore as they burn ridiculously hot and most of them no longer work. I just can't find it in my heart to get rid of them as they hold a lot of childhood memories of the holidays. Is there some way of incorporating them into my holiday decor today? So there you go. My aunt had these, mm-hmm. lived next door. She'd babysit for me. This is the one who pushed me off the tire swing. So there's a lot of traumatic memories with Aunt Jean.
It was an accident. It wasn't like she did it on purpose.
Bullshit. I was swinging on the tire swing and she pushed real hard and I fell. And then I proceeded to try and poison her with soap water when we got back into the house. I did. Here, have a sip. And it was, I literally mixed some... like a bar of ivory, so the water was like milk. Is it water, Tony? No, yes it is. Drink it. Like seven.
That's gross.
Eight. Anyway, she had these lights on her tree, and you know, I will say it does make the tree nice and toasty. I think it probably brings out the oils in the pine, and you can smell the tree even more in the house. And these did, if you remember them, they did look really nice on trees. They were really mm-hmm. retro Christmas, but then they started, you know, getting too hot and burning homes down. So they have like a safe version of these now.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an old version of these, you could probably apply our ideas and what we're talking about to the newer versions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even consider plugging them in maybe. It just depends what you're putting on them with what we're about to talk about. But so you got these things, they can unscrew. What would you do with them to be able to use them in some sort of holiday decor?
I have a few ideas.
Okay.
One's very not out of the box at all. It's basically unscrewing all the bulbs from the strand and mm-hmm. throw the strand away. You don't want to even have that around. And then wrapping wire around where they would have plugged in or
okay.
screwed into the string of lights and just hang them as ornaments on the tree, even though they're not illuminated.
Mm-hmm.
That was one. The other one was using the bulbs just as part of a centerpiece display.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can work them into the greenery. You can wrap floral wire and some of the greenery picks on there and poke them into arrangements if you want so they mm-hmm. pop out. The last one, and I'm not real sure how to execute it, but if I had a bulb to play with, I would figure it out. I would somehow find a way to make them a placeholder name card for like a formal Christmas dinner. So like there's a bulb at each plate.
Oh, sure.
That has the name of who's supposed to sit there.
Okay.
On some sort of card or something, and I haven't really figured out how to attach it, but I would figure something out.
You could also maybe even just use him as part of the decorations around the table.
Mm-hmm. Just on the table.
The centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people put, you know, little, you know, candles and
sure.
things like that out. You could do it with the Christmas lights. What I would do with them, one of the ideas that I had was, if you don't, because some of these, they do, some of them are very faded. Mm-hmm. And so they're not necessarily the sharp colors that they used to be when they're off. So I'd consider getting some of that like Rust-Oleum, like silver paint. Or, you know, looks not necessarily silver, but the aluminum or the metal, metallic, silver metallic is okay. What I'm saying, not just like silver.
Like the mercury glass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mercury glass or just like metallic,
okay.
Like just metal paint. And then spraying these things really well. And then possibly even like adding, and I'm so like not a glitter person for anything because we have two little girls and when there's glitter of any sort, it will be in this house for months on everything. But I would use it in this case a little bit to kind of make them sparkle a little bit, just sprinkle a little bit on top of it once you, right after you paint it so it sticks. And then I would attach them with a string or I did think possibly you could use this cord again for that, you know, cut your power end off of it so nobody gets the bright idea of plugging it in. But if you sprayed the cord as well, you could maintain that color, but the cord is pretty bulky. I think what ideally could be done is just a nice string of some sort, a good heavy duty string, possibly even like a metal type string that's fairly thin.
Like a wire.
Like a wire of some sort. And using that like a, like a wire you'd use for like hanging pictures, like a thin picture hanging wire, and then wrapping the plug part with the wire, and then making it kind of like a strand of them, and hanging it over, you know, underneath a piece of garland on a fireplace, or you could put it in a wreath, something of that nature. That could be a fun way to reuse them, or just like I said earlier, and that was gonna be my second idea, was using it just as little accent pieces here and there. A little bowl filled with the Christmas lights. I think I would accent them somehow, like I just said, with the painting of some sort. And then just setting them around the house as a decoration, and you see them like you remember, oh, these were our Christmas lights when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of a fun thing to do. It's a shame we can't really do that with the little plastic ones that we had because it's like, oh, these are just junk. But these big ones, they were fun.
They were fun.
So did you ever have the ones that like bubbled up? There was like, they were like a round base. It looked almost like a genie type.
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. No, I never had those. No. I only had the like 1983 version of those that, you know, they didn't have the texture to them. They were just the round bulbs. They still got hot.
Yeah.
But they weren't like that.
Yeah, I remember the little, but my Aunt Holly had those and they would always, like, those are neat, you know. It's like, you always want somebody else's holiday decorations. I was always trying to convince my mom to put the light, the extra light that they always give you on the strand that then makes the strand blink or whatnot. That's how you used to have to do it. I don't know if that's how it works anymore. I think a lot of them now, it's like a switch you press or
something. It's a switch or a remote.
Yeah, but it used to be you had to put the special bulb in and then that triggered. I think it basically shorted out the lights a bit to make them
I don't know
blink
about
or whatever,
that.
However they were supposed to work. But back in the day where one bulb went out, you're screwed, the whole thing goes out. So there you go. There's some ideas for reusing some holiday lights. Got our next object here, and this is a old bike wheel. This is actually an old motor bike wheel.
You're on my cord.
Am I on your cord?
You're
Oops,
on my
I'm on your cord.
There. So, okay.
Okay, and your thing is there. You go. There we go.
Okay.
A motor. They can't see any of this because the motorbike wheel is on camera.
That's probably best.
So
okay.
You know. Okay. Ooh. What are you doing, Jenny?
Shut up. Just read.
I could say anything right now, and it's just being important. Bike wheel. The letter says, I'm not a bike collector or a wheel collector of any sort, however. This has been adorning the wall of my garage for several years now. I believe this belonged to a motorbike that my grandfather used. Kind of an odd piece. I'm not sure. I'm sure a collector of some sort would enjoy it, but I'm not looking to sell it. I'd rather find a way to incorporate it into my home as some sort of decoration or art piece. Any ideas on what to do with the wheel?
I've actually been looking for one of these. I saw an old bicycle wheel that I had this idea for, but I was too late when I went back and decided to get it. It was gone. But I would take the tire off of it first, and I would spray paint the entire metal and the spokes and everything. I would maybe paint all of it black. The next thing I would do was take some sort of maybe like a small dish, like a saucer or something like that, and take, you know, four, maybe five of them, and super glue them to the rim to where they're face up. And I would hang it and make it a candelier, which is a chandelier that uses battery-powered candles.
Sure.
And I would suspend it from a chain. I was looking to do that for our deck area outside, but I never found one. But I'm sure I'll find several now. But
sure,
you can put as many or as few of lights on there as you want.
I like that.
What were you going to do with it?
I make it a wreath and then put the Christmas lights on it from the last thing we just talked about. But no, seriously, I was looking at some ideas on the Pinterest, and one of the things I saw was kind of a neat wheel idea. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I would even really paint it much. I think I would probably leave it as is, and I'd probably add in some of the, literally not the whole thing as a wreath, but just a little bit at the very bottom of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like not supposed to be a smiley face, but about a smiley face amount of garland to that. And then add, some other rustic type, ornaments to it. And it just happens that the things we talked about last, those old lights, I think would be a good thing that would fit on there. And it could be a fun outside, if you have a shed or a barn or something. I don't know that it would fit well in a front door, but if you have like an outdoor living space or something, a patio space that you don't get much use of in winter, but you want it to look nice,
festive,
other than just depressing mm-hmm. because you can't be out there,
right?
You might as well decorate it up a little bit. I think that could be a good thing for that sort of mm-hmm. a space. I do like the chandelier idea, the candelier.
Candelier, thank you.
There you go. Any other ideas on the bike wheel?
Not right off the bat, no.
So. There you go. I like that. Now I'll have to go find a wheel. next thing we have here is a space. This is some help with a fireplace. Letter says, Jenny, I know you're good at fireplaces, so please help me with this one. I like to call it my bastardized fireplace. My bastardized fireplace entertainment center. It's literally hanging. I'm trying to read this correctly. The entertainment center is literally hanging on and installed with cords everywhere right over the mantle. It's very, very difficult to actually see the fireplace itself. I think there's potential with the bricks, but I'm open to any ideas you may have on this fireplace.
I agree. There's potential with the bricks. I would take off the entertainment center portion mm-hmm. that's attached to the mantle.
And before we jump into it, we should really just describe this for our listeners so they have a better idea what we're talking about here. You have a bricked fireplace where there's almost two columns of bricks going up on each side to the ceiling point. And then it looks like the hearth is bricked around, and then you have your fireplace insert, and then it's drywall kind of in the middle area where you could potentially hang something, a television in theory, mm-hmm. a piece of art, whatever. But it's almost like there's a big, it's like a U inlet, if you will, of drywall there. But it's covered right now with a giant oversized TV that's really just too big for the space.
It is.
And then the rest of the room, we won't need to talk about that. The focus here is on the fireplace itself. So that's what we're looking at. That's what we're dealing with. Go ahead.
Can you make it bigger for me to see again?
Yes.
Okay. I agree. I think one of the first things to do would be to maybe relocate that TV to a different area because it is too big for the fireplace. And I would find something that fits within that drywalled area.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go ahead and look at having an electrician run power possibly from the ceiling down to that area. Because I know going around the brick's going to be tricky. But I would think through ceiling, they could access that and put a power source in behind where you would wall mount that new TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that may not be something that's feasible, buying a new TV and hiring an electrician. But we're looking at what, big picture goal could be.
Basically, if you want it fixed and better than this, you have to get rid of that television. There's no way that this space is going to look remotely right, which is kind of, I think, what they're going at with that television there. It is simply not designed for a TV of that size, nor to have, I don't even think it's wall mounted. It almost looks like they have kind of an entertainment center mounted to the brick, if you will, that it's resting upon. So get that whole monstrosity out of there. That's your biggest problem, is that. And I understand, like, maybe there's not another place to put the TV. Well, you're going to have to find one. I mean, you have a lot of open window spaces here in this room, I see. I would say put the TV out in front of that other window over that's directly in front of the couch there. That should give you, you know, you still have plenty of room to look out your windows. That's not going away. And then it's not such an eyesore above the fireplace. I almost feel like they may have put it there feeling like obligated, like everybody's hanging their TVs above their fireplace. Let's do it. You know, and then realized, oh God.
This isn't the best way to execute that, especially if you're going to use that fireplace, because the heat's going to rise right up onto everything. Yeah. So you need more space there. So, okay, let's pretend that that's doable.
TV's gone.
TV's not there, or they're going to get a smaller one to wall mount.
Sure.
I love plank walls. We all know I love shiplap. Mm-hmm. I would do some sort of, you know, texture wall treatment to the sheetrock there between the column posts. I would probably just go ahead and shiplap that or plank it from the whole, you know, from the ceiling down to where it stops.
Sure.
And that'll also help with support on where you put your wall mount for your TV. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell what their mantle looks like. So I would say, depending on what the mantle looks like, it may be usable, or it may be, a lot of times I find mantles are underwhelming for the fireplace.
Yeah.
So I would consider possibly making a beamed. Mm-hmm. And it's just a simple, I say that, and we're going to do a show on beams, but I would consider making a box beam mantle. Mm-hmm. Or you can buy a mantle secondhand, something that's going to be size appropriate for this fireplace.
Sure.
For the brick itself, I would, you know, depending on their decor, and I can't tell just how orange the brick is because pictures are deceiving. If it's not too bad and it's red and you can get away with leaving it, I would probably leave it and just let that be kind of an accent for the rest of the room. Mm-hmm. If it's kind of overwhelming, I would consider either whitewashing it or painting it flat out. But I like brick. I like the texture that brick adds. So I think it's definitely salvageable. But you're right. That TV just hides too much of it.
You're going to have a whole blank canvas to work with if that TV is gone. Mm-hmm. Or you may just discover, hey, we like this as is. Because that's the eyesore, is the TV entertainment center thing there. And you could, I like the shiplap idea of doing that in the inlet there in the U-shape area. Or if you don't want to, you could probably just keep the drywall the way it is and find a little, you know, neat piece of art or something, or a clock or something that fits the rest of the decor of your home. There's, you know, like we said, there's a gazillion home stores now that have a clock aisle, you know, and you're guaranteed to find a clock that fits with whatever your style is.
And you can make that, you know, the fact that it's not all brick, you know, if you don't want to plank it or shiplap it, you can really downplay that by painting it the same color or whitewashing it to match the brick, so that it just all kind of blends and it feels like it's one cohesive piece instead of kind of the chopped up look that it is right now. And that will just really pull the whole thing together as far as making it look like it's one unit.
I completely agree. Good luck.
I
think it really it looks like a lot of work, but I think really a few steps here, rearranging a few things there, I think you're going to have a very different feel to that room.
It's a weekend project. It's totally doable. And it's one of those things, you can't screw it up. But if worst comes to worst, there's paint.
Exactly. Exactly. Or sledgehammers. You know, that's...
No.
There you go. Thank you for submitting that one. If you have an space, place, object you want advice on and some insight into, send it to us, junkinwithjenny.com. Okay, this is our last item, I believe, and there it is. Okay, look at this lovely object. This is an old water fountain. Letter says, this is a water fountain that I rescued out of my elementary school as they were tearing it down. Not exactly something I can get back into working order, but still a neat piece. Thoughts on what can be done to give it a second shot at life. This is one of those very old, it almost looks like a birdbath water fountain.
It does.
You know, but they were bigger and thicker, and you press the thing and it kind of comes out of the top. But it's you know, a 1940s, 1950s water fountain. Or as we call them in the North, a bubbler.
Yeah, that still sounds weird to me.
Yeah, so I New England also calls them bubblers.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like Wisconsin does, and New England, I don't know.
Okay.
Anyhow, so what would you do with the water fountain?
Well, I know that... I'm going to say there's probably not a whole lot you can do. You need to kind of preserve it in one piece because mm-hmm. I doubt that it comes apart to use the base as one thing and the bowl as another. So I would preserve it as one piece. I would try and work around, if you can't remove the part that sticks up in the middle where you would drink from.
Sure.
If you can't take that out, I would just try and use it as a planter. I would honestly put it in my office with a plant in it that kind of grows over. So it's almost like a bowl on a stand.
Sure.
You know, another thing you mentioned, it looks like a bird bath. And I kind of thought about that in a garden, you know, but I'm not real sure what you would put on top to hold the water for the bird bath because it's going to drain.
It might be kind of deep for a bird bath. The birds are going to think it's like a bird bath and they're going to discover they're like going into a 10-foot pool for a bird. And it's like
and they're gonna die.
Diving board. You can find dead birds in your bird bath.
You have ducks in it.
So. That that could be interesting.
How big are those? I've never seen one in real life.
One of these?
Yes.
About half the size of a bird bath in circumference.
Okay.
So it's
so about a foot across then, maybe.
Yeah, right around there.
Okay.
I mean, there are different types that were out, but I think I like the idea of doing plants in there, but I would actually pack the dirt into this thing.
Yeah.
Use it as almost like a little herb garden or something you could put in your house, like in the kitchen by a window or something, and use it like that. And then also try and discover where the water does come out at, because you have to water these things from now time and time again. And if the soil just soaks it all up, great. But you may find that it does kind of start coming out the drain. So be aware of that. Or if you can, you know, put some sort of filler in there, you may be able to use some, get down deep in there and do some spray foam to seal it up.
Seal it, sure.
And then put your dirt in and then do your garden. That could be a kind of a neat option for repurposing this. You can make an interesting, side table. If you can't get that... the water spigot part out of it, I would say, either do probably a glass top, because a wood top or anything solid would cover up the piece itself and you'd really kind of lose what it is. It just becomes a stand. But if you're going to do a glass piece, you know, talk to someone who could cut a hole in the glass in the center that you could basically kind of like how you put an umbrella through a patio.
Sure.
Piece. And then use that as your top and you can make it an interesting side table. It is a piece that does kind of limit you with what you can and can't do with it.
And I hate saying, put a plant in it, because that's an easy go-to. But
put a bird on it.
I would actually do that, though, if I had one.
Sure.
That's how I would use it. Because I think it's just kind of neat, some of the enamels chipping off of it, and you can see the cast iron underneath. It's like an old bathtub, almost. Yeah. You know how they get kind of roached out?
And it's about as heavy as a bathtub.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It looks tiny, and these were not super large things, but yeah, they're, I think they are like cast iron.
Yeah.
So they don't make them like that anymore.
No, they sure don't.
We're never going to get on this show somebody going, hey, I found this water fountain. It's like, you know, the big giant one. You press it in.
You never know. Don't say never. Because...
I don't know what you would do with that, though, like the more modern version of it that we've had in our lifetime. You
know? I don't know on the spot, but I would find something to do with it.
That would be an interesting, interesting object to try and repurpose. It seems like some of these old things, they had so much art to them, and the more modern don't. They're just kind of boxes with a button, you know?
Right.
And these, you know, there's a reason you can repurpose this, or people would want to repurpose
it. And that's why I love old things, because even though it was necessary, it was made beautifully.
It was. There's a lot of neat possibilities there with that water fountain. So there you go.
There you go.
That's our stuff.
Okay.
That's our letters for the week. Got lots of neat stuff lined up for next week's show. So if you have something you'd like on there, want us to talk about, want us to give you some insight on, go ahead and send it into us at junkinwithjenny.com. Excited. Next week, we got a wine sponsor. So we're going to attempt to consume 5 bottles of wine between the two of us in 1 hour.
Not possible.
Wait till the last 10 minutes of that show. That's going to be stuff.
Not possible.
That you're going to really enjoy.
I couldn't even do that shit in college.
On a very special Junkin' with Jenny.
Ugh. Puking with Jenny.
The dangers of drinking too much wine.
Right.
All right, that wraps up the program for today. Thank you guys for watching. Check out junkinwithjenny.com. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are listening to us or watching us as well. It helps us grow this thing. Until next time, for Jenny Bruski, who's right there. I know where to point.
Do I have to point at you?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm closing it up. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm Tony Bruski. Thanks for watching.